Well, good morning, everybody. I know we're just a small group today, but I hope that what I'm going to present is beneficial for everybody here. The title that I've selected is called Strength Training. I'll explain that in a minute. I did want to start with some scripture from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to do two chunks. The first bit is verses 7 to 11, and then verses 16 to 18. So Paul writes, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh." And then moving on to verses 16 to 18. "Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." I was doing some reading, as I read quite a lot, but I'd come across some words which I found quite interesting. The person writing said, "Don't practice what you preach. Preach what you practice." I feel the difference between these two is very slight, but significant. It's quite easy to say things with our words and then try our best to live them out in practice. Ever since I began delivering messages in church, and I had that period of time where I took an entire year off to be certain that this is what the Lord wanted me to do, I was really conscious of my own heart's desire to only speak on truths that I've been able to put to the test in my own walk with the Lord. I feel that anything less than that would seem hypocritical, really. I find the concept of do as I say and not as I do quite hard to swallow. The Christian walk is not easy. We must be able to share our faith with others in an authentic way, which is grounded in God's work in and transformation of our own lives, if we hope to be conduits of his grace and mercy to others. Hence, preaching what we practice. Now, I mentioned when I spoke the previous Sunday, when we were I was talking about maintenance, I mentioned that I had engaged in a year's worth of sort of diet and fitness coaching by my son, who's a fitness expert. So that started in August last year. And I was determined, really, to lose some weight and to get exercise into my routine. And that was sort of my objective. And I was really quite proud of my ability to persevere. It wasn't easy. I mean, it was very challenging. But I just kept doing the right things day after day after day. But I could see, sort of probably coming up around May-ish, April, May time, that I felt like I'd come to a point where I wasn't making any progress. And I think that's why I was really reflecting on the whole notion of maintenance. I thought, actually, doing the work to lose the weight was easier than trying to just find a way of maintaining everything. That to me, represented a challenge that I hadn't really anticipated. So I was speaking to James, my son, about this, and kind of frustratingly, he asked me to abandon everything that he had counseled me to do over the past year. Well, why are you doing this to me? I've only just got, you know, I've done it. I've got used to this. And why are you now asking me to do something different? He said, Mom, you need to now start concentrating on building strength. So because my focus had really been about losing weight and, you know, exercising for general fitness, I wasn't really focusing on becoming stronger as such. So when he started to explain to me what this would look like, he said, you're going to have to start exercising less. You're going to have to start eating more. And you're going to have to start resting more than you do. I really struggled. We sort of had this conversation at the end of July, and he said, just trust me, trust the process. Stick with it for a month while you're off work during August, and we'll see how things go. So, I mean, I'm not a doctor, and I'm not all that, you know, clued up on physiology, things like that. However, through his coaching, I've understood from my son that we build strength through three things, basically. First of all, we build strength through ever-increasing strain that we experience through lifting heavy weights or heavy things. It doesn't have to be weights, but lifting heavy things. So increased strain on our muscles apparently creates very small tears in the muscle tissue, which once it recovers and repairs, it grows back stronger than it was before. That's the process. But you also need to consume enough protein and other nutrients whilst you're doing this in order for the muscle growth to take place. And the further thing that you need to do, the third thing, is that you need to have adequate rest and recovery time between the sessions of heavy lifting. So you can't just like lift heavy weights one day and then go back the following day and lift heavy weights again without having the rest and the recovery time in between. So, I mean, so this kind of created a plan for my exercise and whatever that I was quite different to what I'd been doing. And I was having to realign my thinking, really, with what he was asking me to do. But as I was doing it, I was reflecting on the spiritual application to this. I don't know if any of you know the writer Oswald Chambers. He was born 1874, died 1917. He was a Baptist preacher and teacher and writer. And he wrote a classic daily devotional called My Utmost for His Highest. I remember my father gave it to me as a gift. I must have been about 14 years old, and I used it a lot year after year. But Oswald Chambers has written this quote, that the strain of life is what builds our strength. If there is no strain, there will be no strength. This fact helps to put struggle and strain into proper perspective. Just as we cannot increase our physical strength without enduring increased strain on our muscles, our faith muscles cannot strengthen without being challenged by life's difficulties. Scripture does not leave us with any doubt that our lives will be filled with trials, tribulations, and temptations. Jesus says in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." James highlights the progression as our faith muscles are tested, there's a process. And so when my son said to me, just Mom, trust the process, it will work. James writes in chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. When I'm lifting increasingly heavy weights, it feels very hard. Thankfully, James is there with me. I don't do this on my own. I wouldn't trust myself, but he's there with me. And as I'm doing it, he's advising me on my form and cheering me on to keep pushing through when I feel like I can't lift any longer. Our spiritual strength is actually the strengthening of our faith and trust in Christ in all circumstances. Peter writes in 1 Peter 1, 6 to 9, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. As we push through in faith the strains brought to bear on us, we strengthen our faith. We cannot grow in faith without the struggles. These struggles can come in the form of temptations to engage in things that are not pleasing to God. I mean, the world is filled with so many temptations. There's all manner of addictions out there. Our brains are filled with negative mindsets often that are contrary to what the scriptures tell us we should be as Christians. We have jealousy, hatred, anger, are all temptations that are so easy to get sucked into. James again writes in chapter 1, verse 12, blessed is the man who endures temptations, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. The enduring of the temptation is what builds the faith, that builds the strength of the faith. Eliminating the temptation would be nice. Not having the problem would be nice, but it won't strengthen our faith, because then we don't have anything that we have to push against. So the struggle can also be seasons of great tribulation that are caused by pain, you know, physical unhealth and illness is so prevalent, especially I think we're all kind of conscious as we get older. It's just, you know, there's a lot of pain that people experience as they get older. There's loss that comes from losing important people in your life or things in your life that you were attached to. And there's all manner of other difficulties that can kind of come in waves and seasons of tribulation in our life. But like the passage from James that I've quoted above, Paul also highlights the progression, the faith building that occurs through these tribulations. He writes in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. And a bit later in chapter 15, verse 13, he continues, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I've made use of the word faith a few times already in what I've been saying this morning, but I think it's quite useful just to stop and ask, you know, what actually is faith? What is it? The writer of Hebrews tells us in the first verse of chapter 11, the great faith chapter in Hebrews, now faith is the substance, the stuff of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I remember learning that as a child. I think there was a little song that we actually sang that helped us to memorize it. The evidence of things not seen. We live in I think it's just human nature. I'm not sure it's our age. I think it would have been the case regardless of where we were living in history. But you know, we want to see things in order to believe them. Developing our faith muscle is about learning how to see in faith what we can't see with our eyes. At Hebrews 11, verse 6, just a little bit down from verse 1, because this is really very important. But without faith, it is impossible to please God, to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So faith is absolutely vital to make the Christian walk work. Faith believes that what God says is true and that He will fulfill everything He has promised. We build our faith by taking the heavy weight of our temptations, our trials, our tribulations, and actively handing those over to Him. We read in Psalm chapter 55, verse 22, cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Our strength is our belief in His strength. Our belief in His strength. It's not our strength. Where we have to strengthen is in our ability to believe that He is our strength on our behalf. Psalm 105, verse 4 says, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Now, just as the body would be unable to repair those small tears in the muscle tissue that are caused by the lifting of heavy weights, unless people were eating correctly, the weight and strain of trials, temptations, and tribulations will not result in the growth of our faith if we do not have a regular diet of God's Word. I think this is something that my son has stressed a lot on the physical side, is that you can't actually, your body is unable to create new tissue without proper nutrition. So people who want to like go on a starvation diet and exercise at the same time, it won't result in increasing the muscle. And I was just reflecting on that from a spiritual perspective, that we cannot endure the trials, the tribulations, the temptations that come our way if we're not feeding ourselves on God's Word. The whole of Scripture speaks of Jesus, and He is our nourishment. John 6:33, for the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Trying to live the Christian life of faith without our daily bread is absolutely untenable. We will only get weaker and weaker, and will be overwhelmed by the strains that are brought to bear on us, unable to push through in our own human strength and with our own understanding. I think that Rob might have used this scripture last Sunday, but 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17 reminds us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's word feeds us with everything we need for our faith training regime. But there's more that's required for muscle growth than just lifting heavy weights and eating protein. We need to rest and recover. It's easy to think that rest is a cop-out. I think we do live in an age where to take a rest or to, you know, just slow things down, we look like we're weak and we can't cope. So people tend to want to just keep on going and keep on going. But the reality on a physiological level is that muscles cannot recover and grow without sufficient rest. They don't get the opportunity to rebuild, and then it will be damage on damage, and there won't be the strength, which is the outcome of the weight training. It will just cause injury, and it will delay the training program until the muscles are fully recovered. On the spiritual level, we need to seek rest in Him on a daily basis. We need to wait upon the Lord to renew our strength. Jerry chose this passage for the opening, and the song that we've sung is reflected it as well. But Isaiah 40:31, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Also, I've picked out Psalm 33:20. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. The struggle of life is real. I remember when we were having Bible study at our house, and I have this Eeyore mug. I gave it to Alex, I remember, with your cocoa in it. Do you remember, Alex? And it's Eeyore saying, the struggle is real. The struggle is real. Life is hard, and as we give our lives to the Lord, I think sometimes it feels as though it gets harder and harder. But that makes sense. The struggle is real because it's in the struggle and the strain that we exercise our faith muscles, and those become stronger, and our ability to trust in the Lord increases. We have got to learn to turn to Him for rest, to turn to Him for our nourishment, and to trust Him with our heavy loads. Jesus Himself says in Matthew 11:28-29, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. So that's like a given. People who work hard and are burdened with heavy burdens, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Everything that we experience in life is an opportunity to strengthen our faith in Him. We must learn to push back against every hardship that confronts us with the truth of God's word, and a willingness to turn to Him regularly for rest and recovery. He knows we are but dust. Our strength comes from Him and Him alone, but we still have to be trained in it and enter willingly into His strength training program. I go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. It's not about us. It's all about Him. But we need to strengthen our ability to trust and have faith in what He promises He will do in each of our lives. And not, as I have done for so many years and so many bad patches in my own life, not question, why me? Why is this happening to me? Why am I experiencing these things? Why do I have this temptation and other people don't? And why have I had this tragedy and other people don't? That isn't what it's about. Everything that comes our way is a strain that enables us to build the muscle of our faith and trust in Christ. And He will not let us down. And the more confident we become of that over time, the more we know in the next bad patch that we can 100% trust Him and it's going to be okay. That's the strength that He's on about. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your truth. We thank You that You have created a way that works, that maybe is counterintuitive for us. We've so often want to hide ourselves and protect ourselves from difficulties in life, and that is the world's way. But seen through this lens, Lord, we recognize that every single difficult thing that comes to us in our existence is an opportunity to build our faith, to strengthen our faith in You, and to watch You come through so that You get the glory with Your power in our lives and our circumstances. We thank You, Lord, that You love us so much that You want to do all of this for us, that You want us to be the people that You see us being in Christ. We thank You in Your Son's precious name. Amen.